Today, as we get started, I've asked some volunteers to help me out. So I'm going to ask them to go ahead and make their way to the platform if they would. Somebody's going to hold the plate, and you're going to kind of hold it to the side. Don't pour it off. But then the other person's going to try to get this back into the plate. So I have two small tubes of toothpaste. Actually, they're going to try. I'm going to take this and I'm going to pour it. We're going to have a race. And so, this is going to get serious. You only have 30 seconds to do this. So hold this where the people can see it. So one of you hold the plate, one of you going to be stuffing. Okay? And so here's all the toothpaste. I'm going to squeeze it out there. And then when we're done with this, you can take this and do whatever you want with it. Okay, so who's going to be, you're going to be stuffing it back in?
Yes, I'm going to do
this. There, hang on, wait, don't start yet. And then, no, I said don't start yet. And so, oh, look at that, you got more, this is a little bit bigger tube, so you might have an advantage. Okay, I didn't say that out loud. Okay, you're going to do the stuffing? Okay, kind of hold it where they can see, kind of, and then you've got 30 seconds. On your mark, get set, go. Okay. Yeah, you're not done. How's it going?
Terrible.
You got to get it back. I don't care how you do it. Get it back into the tube. Yeah, look. Yeah, that might work. You can get it all in your mouth and blow it in. That might work. How's it going? You think they're doing good? Yeah. No, they're not doing very well. Come on, Eddie.
I'm doing pretty good.
Come on. Use the spoon, perhaps. He's shoving. Oh my goodness. Is it working?
Sure.
Not at all.
I think we're just smearing.
Okay. All right. You guys are done. Okay. Stop. Okay. Let's give him a hand. Let's see.
It's all off.
It's all off. Yeah. It's all off the plate. Send the spoon. Okay. Here you go. Have fun. Okay. Look here. So, yeah. Good job. Okay. Here's you if you need that. Here's that. Here's some dry towels. Take these two because I don't need them. Here. You guys need to just put that somewhere. Put that in the book holder. All right, so the reason that I had them do that is because it demonstrates, it demonstrates how hard it is to undo something we say. Sometimes when we talk, once the words come out, you can't really get it back in. It's kind of like toothpaste. And you know, you might be able to get one, but you can never get it all back in unless you had a machine or something that was specifically designed to do that. And that kind of it illustrates that once words come out of our mouth, it's impossible really to get them back. They're out there. Words are like toothpaste. Once they're out of your mouth, you cannot get them back. And that's what we're talking about today. Have you ever said something? And today it's not just speaking. I mean, I think if James were writing his book today, he would be talking about texting and emails and social media posts. But if you ever said something in whatever form it took that you wish you could get back, maybe something you shouldn't have said, maybe something that was hurtful to someone, maybe something that was just critical, and it caused you problems. Anyone ever done that? You ever said something you wish you hadn't said? This is yes. This is I'm lying. Okay? Yes, we all have. I know I have. I've said things that I wish I hadn't said. I've hit reply, I've hit post, I've texted, I've hit send on some things that I shouldn't. Just a good rule of thumb, don't send the email that day. Wait 24 hours. Just give yourself a 24-hour rule. When you send a strongly worded message or you're about to say a strongly worded message, give yourself some time, give the Holy Spirit time to work with you and try to find out some more information because nothing good's going to come of it. It normally happens that something bad comes from it. I've done that. I've said things that I shouldn't have said to my family, my children, to my wife, to my parents growing up. I've said things. And I've said things to other people that weren't outside of my family. Said things to friends that have been hurtful at times in my life. And they said things to me. Maybe you. Maybe you've said something. Maybe you know, husbands and wives, you ever get in an argument and say something that's hurtful and you wish you could get it back, but you can't? See, what we say can hurt people, can do mighty damage. So here's kind of the thing. If you were here last week, you listened to me speak for 45 minutes, and most of you can't remember what I talked about. But somewhere in your past, somewhere along the way, someone has said one sentence to you, one phrase to you that was critical or that was harsh, and that replays over and over and over again in your mind. It could have been 30 years ago. It could have been 5 years ago. It could have been a year ago. It could have been 50 years ago. It could have been a coach. It could have been a mom or a dad. It could have been a sibling. It could have been a teacher. But someone said something somewhere that was critical, and you took it to heart, and now it plays over and over in your head that you can't do something. You can't be something. You're always like this. And Satan uses that negative comment in your life over and over and over again to keep you from trusting what God wants you to be, from keep you from being what God wants you to be. I heard someone say recently that all Satan has to do, like he knows, all he has to do is convince you to believe a lie when you're young, and then he just sits back and watches because it will destroy you. And those comments oftentimes are lies. Well, conversely, sometimes there's good comments, aren't there? There's some people have said some good things about us. But you know what? Only on rare occasions do those things play back. Only on rare occasions do the good things keep going. And so it's the power of our words. And all of us have said things that have been hurtful and have caused people to have some issues. And once it's out of our mouth, it's too late to apologize. It's too late to apologize. It's too late. You remember that song? So, it's too late. You can't do it. It is. It's too late to apologize. Because it's there. It's sucked in. And Satan uses that to reaffirm insecurities. He uses that to stop people. And so today, James, the half-brother of Jesus, we call him James, he writes in his book that's in the Bible about this very topic. And that's what we want to see today. That's what we want to study. Today I want us all to heed God's warning about our speech. Now listen, this is hard for me to preach on. It's been hard to prepare because, well, I'm guilty. And he actually points out that I'm guilty. We're all guilty, but it's even worse for teachers, okay? And so, because I'm standing up here teaching you how to talk, and I really don't even know how to talk myself. And so there's greater accountability to me, and we'll read that soon. But you heed God's warning about speech. I want you to grasp the power of your words. And most importantly, I want us to change how we speak to one another. Somehow, some way, figure out a way to speak life. I could sing that song, Speak Life. What are you laughing, son? That was hurtful. I'm going to carry that laugh around with me forever. Once the laugh is out, it's too late to get it back. The main point today is that the power of life and death is in your mouth. It comes from Proverbs. Proverbs 18:21. The power of life and death is in your mouth. You can flip over there and read that verse. It actually says something even beyond that that's kind of powerful once you understand it. It reinforces what we're talking about today. The power of life and death is in your mouth. And I'm not talking about bad breath. Although halitosis is a serious problem. That's why we have, you know, mints around the church. And so use gum and use mints. And you know, men, have gum with you. You know, bad breath's a mood killer. And so, that's why we have mints. No, that's not why we have mints at church. It's not for the mood. But it is to cover up the coffee breath, because we love coffee. And so coffee and mint. You drink a coffee, have a mint. And so it's just kind of they work together. What we ought to do is come up with mint coffee. Huh? We could be called the Mint Coffee Church. That would be kind of cool. So, but that's not what I'm talking about. When we're seriously, our words have the power to kill, to heal, to create, to destroy, to bless, or to curse. Our words have that ability. And while James has just told us previously not just to pronounce a blessing, but to actually help each other, so that is if someone comes to you hungry and you don't feed them, but you just pronounce a blessing, you've done no good for that person. Now he's turning to our speech and saying, but your speech does matter. What you say is powerful. It does matter. It might not help the hungry person. It might not help the poor person, might not help the person in crisis, but your words do make a difference. Think about this. If the words of other people replay in your mind, can we all say that happens? Yes, it happens. Right? You know, that third grade teacher that said something negative, and it's still, every time it comes up, you remember it. If the words of other people matter to you, then your words are doing the same to them. And your words have the power to do the same to them. And that's what we're dealing with today. For better or worse, our words are powerful. They have consequences. And they will actually live longer than you do. Your words and what you say will live longer than you. They will last longer than your money. They will be your legacy. My mom reminds me often, and you all know it's no secret that I like the lights to be turned off when people leave the room. It's like there's a light on up there right now, and it bothers me. I just know it's on. I'm like, there's nobody back there. Why is those lights on? I don't know why those lights are on. There's no one back there, but I know it. And it's just, my mom told me even yesterday, but she told me several times, she said, when you're dead and gone and they get together at family reunions, your kids are going to be talking about how you were always on them about the lights. And I'm like, good. I'm okay with that. But that's the deal. It's like maybe they'll go turn off the lights in their house then and save themselves some money. It's about stewardship. Nonetheless, we're talking about words. So the issue is our words and how important they are. And so we're going to be in James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. But I'm actually going to start at the last part and work my way up. Okay? And so we're going to start down there in verses 9 through 12. And this is the point. What we say exposes what is in our heart. What you say exposes what's in your heart. What I say exposes what's in my heart. Now listen to me. This is very important. If you're on the receiving end of someone saying something that's critical, as followers of Christ, we need to know that does not define us. We need to know that the reason they're saying that is because something's wrong. They're hurting. Just like when you say it, there's something wrong and you're hurting. But nonetheless, as followers of Christ, we want to rise above that. We want to use our words to glorify God and to help one another. And so this way says in verses 9 through 12, it says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praises and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. You see, the same tongue that just sings, we just sing these wonderful blessings. We glorify God with the same mouth that's going to be critical on our way out the door. You might be critical now. Well, he should really tuck his shirt in. I mean, it's the same. It's just, I can't believe, slob. Whatever. The lights are too bright. The lights are too dim. The lights are on. I mean, you can just like, The same mouth that's praising God gets caught up in all this stuff. And we say things and hurt people. And he says, that just should not be. We live in a society today where we can't tell people, are you going to turn those lights off? Thank you, buddy. Jason gets a check mark right there. Wrong one. Okay. The same mouth that pronounces blessing. And listen, we're made in God's image. When we see each other, rather than seeing the negative, and this is hard, I'm preaching to me too, rather than seeing the mess up, rather than seeing all the things that are wrong, rather than seeing disappointment, rather than seeing anger, rather than seeing bitterness, rather than seeing resentment, rather than see that, see that this person is made in the image of your God who you praise. When we see people, that's what he tells us to see. See people who remind you of God. We're all flawed. Every single one of us. And we'll get to that. It's verse number 2 in the text. All of us are. And so why do we want to point things out? You know, I talk to people and they're like gasping for advice. I say, well, try this. Well, that won't work because of this. Well, try this. Well, that won't work because... Well, try this. Well, that won't... I'm like, just forget it. Give me one good reason why one thing will work. You see, we all have problems. We all have flaws, and it's so easy to point them out. We all have our own opinions, and it's so easy to point them out. But every time we disagree over things like that, we're missing the opportunity to praise God. We're missing the opportunity to build one another up. We're missing the opportunity to forgive one another. We're missing the opportunity to move forward and with what God is doing in our lives, in our families, and in our churches. The mouth reveals your heart. Matthew 15:18-19. Jesus said the same thing. He says, but the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart. And these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, and what? What? I couldn't hear you. False testimony and slander. Isn't that funny? That false testimony and slander is in this list? You know what slander is? Saying something bad about someone else so that the person you're talking to will think negatively about the person you just talked about. That's in the list with adultery and sexual immorality. That's in the list with murder and theft. False testimony. Saying something that's not true. Let me tell you this. When you ascribe motives to someone else, they might have done something. I might have walked across the room. I walked across the room. But when you say he walked across the room because, when you ascribe motives, when you try to figure out what someone's motives is, what you're doing is, and you talk about, well, the reason they did this was this. It's false testimony. False to ask them why they did it. And as you remember in the past several weeks, even the series before this, we talked about how we need to talk to one another rather than fight. God expects our speech towards one another to resemble our speech towards Him. We don't worship one another. We don't praise one another. But would I be as critical as I am with God as I am with you or my family? Certainly not. Certainly not. But yet, somehow, you bear the image of God. I mean, we think about this. Think about the TV shows we watch. It occurred to me this week as I was studying for this. If you watch a show or a movie or whatever, and it has harsh language in it, you're going to say, well, that's really bad. You know, especially, you know, if it's just using the F word over and GD this, you're probably going to shut that down. Can't handle that. Or if there's lots of nudity and pornography type of situations, just, you know, those types of scenes, but I'm not going to watch that. I'm just not going to watch that. That's our life. But we tolerate extreme violence on image bearers of God. For some reason in our world, in our minds, even in Christian minds, oh, it's rated R for violence. It'll be all right. I'm not telling you, you know, you've got to be the decision maker in those things, but doesn't it bother me? Doesn't it bother me that an image bearer of God's getting destroyed? Doesn't that hurt? Because they're like me. We're made in the same image. That's what propels mission. That's what makes me want to see people not go to hell when they die. That's what makes me want to see people live a life that's worshiping God today, here and now. Because they're made in His image so that they can reflect His glory back to Him and they can worship Him and they can have a life of meaning and purpose, God's meaning and purpose. But I'm okay to watch them get hurt. The Father wants us to have a heart towards others like we have towards Him. How you treat others is really a reflection of what you think about God. That's why He says the greatest command is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. The way you prove your love for God is what you think and how you talk and how you treat other people. In Matthew 25:44-45, Jesus says, they will also answer. Listen to this. They will also answer. It's this judgment scene, and Jesus is talking about the judgment. And so there's a little snippet of it. He says, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in person and did not help you? Because Jesus in the judgment claims that you did not help me when I was in need. Therefore, you're judged. And they said, well, when do we see you in need? And verse 45 says, and He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. That is how I treat others, even how I speak to them or about them, is what I'm doing to Christ. Would we gossip against Christ? Would we malign everything? He says, would we go against and be malcontent with everything Christ is doing? Because when we're like that with one another, that's exactly what we're doing. The point both James and Jesus makes is that your language reveals your heart, and the way we treat one another is a reflection of what we really truly think about God. And then he also says that salt water and fresh water do not come from the same source. It's like a spring. You can't, if you have a spring or a place where water, I don't know if they have these up here. I've not seen one. I didn't. But in Tennessee, we'd have these places where a pipe was hammered into a rock and fresh water would come out. And people would go with their milk jugs, not with milk in them empty, and they would fill up water and they would take it. It was spring water. And it was delicious until one day the EPA showed up and tested it. It was bad, but people quit doing it at that particular location. But the point is that was supposed to be fresh water. If salt water would not come out that hole. You can't get the same spring, the same source does not produce good water and bad water. It's one or the other. It's either got some toxins in it or it's fresh spring water. It's either salt water or it's fresh water. It's not both. It can't be both, the same source. And yet here I am claiming to be a representative of God. Yet here you are claiming to be a representative to God. And we should be the source of God's blessing and His light and His goodness in this world where we live, work, learn, and play, where you live, work, learn, and play. But instead, many times, we become not that sort. We're not doing that. Our speech becomes perverted. The things that we say become hateful. We become angry. We hurt one another with our words. And He says it shouldn't be. Jesus speaks the same thing in Matthew 12. He says, make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make the tree bad and its fruit will be bad, for the tree is recognized by its fruit. He says, you brood of vipers. That's kind of harsh, Jesus. How can you, who are evil, say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings forth good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they've spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. That's serious stuff. That's scary to me. Is it scary to you? I mean, like, there's no way out of that. We are going to be judged. Second point is, what we say reveals our hypocrisy. Kind of already see that coming in verses 6 through 8 of James 3. It says, the tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and it is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. This is what they were teaching in Jesus' household. Like, this is Christ's brother. Jesus was saying the same things. We just saw that. It's like, man, I wish I'd known this and been able to live by this before I've said all the things that I've said. The issue here is hypocrisy and control. I say harsh, judgmental things because I want to control others. You see, that's the thing. When I say things that are mean, that are angry, that are harsh, that are judgmental, that are slanderous, that are bitterness, whatever it is, whoever it's to, doesn't matter. It's because they've not performed like I wanted them to perform. I can't control them. They're not doing what I want. Most of the people that say bad things about me is because I'm doing something they don't like. You can't control me. So they say harsh things, right? The irony here, the hypocrisy here, is that you're trying to control others and you can't even control your own mouth. That's the point. While we're mad at them and we're saying harsh, evil things towards them because of their ineptness, because of their error, because of their wrongdoing, because of their narrow-mindedness, because of their stupid ways or whatever it happens to be, we are proving ourselves guilty of the same thing. We can't even control our own mouths. So why would I judge? Why would I be so harsh? Why would I be so tearing them down? Because I'm guilty too. I want them to listen to me and I don't even listen to myself. I want to control them and I can't control this. He says, you can tame anything. You ever watch the Alligator Hunters? The guys, they jump on an alligator. It's like alligators probably pretty close to the only thing of dinosaur we got. They'll jump on his back, wrangle it, take black tape, electrical tape, and wrap around his mouth. They can paint. They can do whatever. I saw someone 2 weeks ago. I wish I had a picture of it. Their support animal, you know how everybody has support animals now? And I was against that until I got my puppy, and I'm kind of for it now. I feel calmer. Except this guy's a moron. He had an alligator as his support animal. I'm just sorry, but he had an alligator. I mean, they're not even fluffy. What, is he going to lick you? No. I mean, he can't even. How does it express it's happy to see you? Like, it was, and he's sitting there holding an alligator on his couch. Says, well, they won't let me take it to Home Depot. And I'm like, yeah. Of course not. It's an alligator. He said, it makes me feel better. I'm like, what was his child look like? Like, son, you don't have it that bad. It's just crazy. But see me saying that, I'm like, I don't know. Anyway, let's move forward. The point is that we can tame everything except our speech. We can tame everything except our speech. And it's just, it's hypocrisy. It oozes of just wrongness for us to judge others, for us to tear others down, for us to be so critical, for us to be so cynical, for us to just be bitter and envy and rage and malice and all of that stuff that's in there that makes us want to control people, and we want to control them, and I'm saying these harsh things in order to control them, and I can't even control this. It's like a big slap in the face to us, to me. And he points that out in verses 1 and 2. He applies this message to Bible teachers. Thanks a lot, James. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers. He's talking to believers. And he's not saying this to discourage people being teachers. God wants people being teachers. But if you are, here's the reality. Because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. Why will I be judged more strictly? Because my kids are saying, taking notes. They're saying, that's right, Dad. Last week I kind of got upset and they said, hey, remember Jesus loves you. Remember that from a few messages ago? Remind me Jesus loves me. Act right, Dad. You say, well, how dare he stand up there and tell people how to talk because I heard him say something mean about somebody last week. How dare him say that when I know he's guilty of the same thing? Guess what? I am. I don't want to be. It makes these things hard to preach. But I'm going to preach them. We're going to have to go through it and talk about it. And he says, listen, we in verse 2, we all stumble in many ways. That is various ways. It's like some people stumble in speech. Some people stumble in their actions. All kinds of things. We stumble in various ways. But anyone who is never at fault in what he and what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. That's serious. I like to look for a way around this. Like, surely that means something else. In the Greek, no. It means that if you can somehow have the control to bridle your tongue, to keep your tongue in check, then you have the discipline. If you have the discipline to keep your mouth from saying things your mouth shouldn't be saying, then you have the discipline already to live your life without anything else going wrong. To live your life in a perfectly mature way. To overcome the other sins in your life. I'm not saying that you're perfect as in that you're completely righteous and has never sinned, but your behavior, if I have the discipline to control my mouth, then I have the discipline to walk in straight and narrow, to follow Christ more practically and fully. Teachers have to practice what they preach because everyone's watching them. In Romans 2, Paul says the same thing. He says, you then who teach others, do you not teach yourselves? You who preach against stealing, do you steal? It's like, practice what you preach, he says. Practice what you're saying. We all sin a variety of ways. And this control, if we want to control other things in other areas of our life, well, maybe we should start controlling our tongue. Start praying about what we say before we actually say it. Set some reminders to think about the way we normally treat people and treat them differently. And he paints a bleak picture of the tongue here in verses 6 through 9. He says the tongue is a world of evil. He says that it corrupts the whole body. It destroys the direction of your lives. I'll read it again. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. The tongue's full of deadly poison, it says. What comes out of your mouth can kill someone. Satan uses our speech in the lives of others to kill, steal, and destroy what they could be, what God has planned for them. He perverts it. It's a pretty bleak picture. We might not think that the things that we say are bad, but they really are. fire destroys everything it touches. Everything. And that's what he says our mouths are like. The third point is that what we say changes lives. He says you can put a, in verse number 3, you can put bits into the mouths of horses and make them obey us. We can turn the whole animal or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The point here is that even though the tongue is small, it's small. Some people have a bigger tongue. My sister can touch her nose with her tongue. On the top, not the sides, it's gross. The tongue, even though it's small, can do great harm. The same way that a small little metal bit in a horse's mouth, this big, huge horse, we're a horse country, you see them. You see little kids out riding horses. Have you ever seen a little kid out riding a horse? And a little kid can take this horse, I don't know how many pounds a horse weighs, but this little kid can steer a horse anywhere that she or he wants that horse to go because this bit is tied to strings and a rein and it's in their hand and they can turn its head. And if they can turn its head, they can turn its mouth and it can go anywhere. That little bitty bit controls that big, huge horse. The same way in these boats, big boats, even big boats today. The winds, everything drive them, but the pilot in this big, huge boat sitting there with a little steering wheel that's connected to a small rudder that does this behind the boat and turns the direction of the boat. A small thing can have a major impact. That's what he says about our mouths. To you, it might just be a temper tantrum. To you, it might just be frustration overflowing. To you, it may be what you think needs to be said. But to them, it could be destroying them. He says it's like a spark. Consider how a spark can cause such a great forest fire. In November 2016, a couple boys playing with matches and Smokies lit them, threw them down. Even though there was probably some other contributing factors, the result of their actions was over 16,000 acres burned. Over 2,400 structures, many of them primary residents, gone. 14 lives, human lives lost, and who knows how many animals gone. I have a video that shows you some of this. Before and after. We'll be right back. Could it be that the words that you're using are burning down your house? Could it be burning down your family? What was so pretty? Such great potential. What would draw people to come to want to stay there and be a part of it now is just rubble. Empty shell. A foundation. Nothing left. That's the power of our words. That's the power of our words to hurt each other. To destroy, to burn down. God doesn't want us burning down our house. He doesn't want us burning down our relationships. He doesn't want us burning down our church. That's what we do with our words. It does that. It literally does that. And God's like, it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. If we want change, real change, we've got to really repent. You see, Jesus stands ready to forgive. He stands ready to restore. He stands ready to redeem. He stands ready to undo, to rebuild, like ServPro, like it never even happened. But it'll be better because you will be different. Maybe you're here today and you're like, I'm guilty of that. I am. I'm guilty of that. I'm burning down my house. Maybe burning down your church. Maybe burning down your workplace where you work. Jesus is like, that's not what I've called you to do. Give that to Him. We all stumble in many ways. He knows that. But He tells us in John, 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all righteousness. And then as we follow Him, as we emulate Him, as we represent Him, then He starts to change our homes. He starts to change our language. He starts to change our churches. He changes our workplace. He changes us. And that's really the choice that we have. We can either be a bad water or good water. We can either be a fire that burns everything down, or we can be a fire of the Holy Spirit that builds everything up. That helps rather than hurts. And so the question today is, who have you been? Like, are you salt water or are you fresh water? Well, here's a good analogy. We can either be the fire that burns everything down, or we can be the fresh water that puts it all out with God's help. God today is calling us to change. He's calling us to repent and trust Him and follow Him, to treat each other the same way He's treated us, with love and compassion. No harsh words for us. He says, I love you. He laid down His life for us. He didn't stand there and tell us how mad we'd messed up. He said, I'll take your mess up on my shoulders and I'll love you. That's what God's calling you to do. Dads, it's what He's calling you to do to your families. Husbands to your wives. Wives to your husbands. Wives to your families. Your co-workers. The people in the church. What we're doing. We're trying to do things that reach people. That's all we want to do is show people the love of Christ. Let's start in our homes. Let's start in our homes. Let's pray. Father God, today, Lord, we stand before You really guilty. But You know that. You know that, and You're offering forgiveness. You say there's no condemnation if we would come to You, that You would redeem not only us, but our lives to be used for You. Lord, I pray, Lord, all of us we know are guilty. I pray that right now You'll be working a work in us. Lord, that we would confess with our mouth. We would confess with our mouth to You that we've used our mouth in wicked ways. We've used our mouth to hurt. We've used our mouth to try to control others when we can't even control ourselves. Lord, and we ask You to come in. We ask Your Spirit, Father God, to compel us. To use our mouths for good, not for evil. Lord, we need Your touch. Lord, there's those here today that are calling out for You right now. I pray, Lord, You would answer their prayer. You'd come to them. Father God, we just ask You, have Your way. What would it look like, God, if we all got this? Lord, we wouldn't need to be known for our mint and our coffee. We could be known as a people that talk like You talk. The people who love like You love. The people who go like You went. The people, dear Lord, that others want to be around. Let that be a reality, starting with me. In Christ's name, amen.